Let us open in a word of prayer. And now, Father, as we look carefully at your holy scriptures,
天父, 当我们这个时候看着你的圣经的时候,
you would shine the light of your word through your Holy Spirit in our hearts.
天父, 我们求你的圣灵, 让你的光,
that you would expose secret sins
and
cleanse us within, that we may be people who are worthy to be called out by your name.
也洁净我们的心里面,
we pray in your Son's precious name.
我们祷告是奉你儿子宝贵的名,
Amen. From the most basic surface level,
从最表面的层面上我们来看的时候,
it would be very easy to look at the two commandments here that were our memory verses this morning in Exodus chapter
20.
And to say, I've never committed murder.
你会说我从来没有谋杀过人,
I've never committed adultery. Great, have a nice day, let's all go home.
好了,我就可以结束了,我今天,
but the commandments, as we're going to see, are a bit deeper than that. And so let me be honest up front with you from the beginning. And this is not going to be a fun message. It's going to be difficult. Some of the things that are going to be said are not socially acceptable to speak about. But we will try to be discreet and not overly descriptive. I'd like to begin with some background to this command. Turn in your Bibles to the book of Genesis. All the way back at the beginning. Genesis chapter
3.
And as you remember in the Bible,
你记得在圣经里面,
God creates man in 6 days.
在七天中神造了人,
he creates man and he puts him in the garden.
他创造了人,
and from the man he creates a woman. And this couple became the first marriage. And we learn very, very early on in chapter 2, verses 24 and 25 of Genesis,
在第二章第24节到25节,
that physical intimacy is a normal part of marriage. And so in verse 25, they were both naked, the man and his wife, and were not ashamed. But unfortunately, man did not remain pure. As you remember, the devil came in the guise of a serpent. And he deceived Eve into breaking the one command that God had. And Adam, knowing full well what he was doing, chose as well to eat of the fruit. In chapter 3, verses 7 through 11,
在第三章第七到第十一节,
there's an interesting event that happens immediately after man sins. Let me read verses 7 through 11 for you.
我会为你读第七到第十一节,
the eyes of both of them were opened, and they knew that they were naked, and they sewed fig leaves together, and they made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said, where art thou? And he said, I have heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid because I was naked and hid myself. And God said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat?
他们二人的眼睛就明亮了，才知道自己是赤身露体，便拿无花果树的叶子为自己编作裙子。天起了凉风，耶和华神在园中行走，那人和他妻子听见神的声音，就藏在园里的树木中，躲避耶和华神的面。耶和华神呼唤那人，对他说：“你在哪里？”他说：“我在园中听见你的声音，我就害怕，因为我赤身露体，我便藏了。”耶和华说：“谁告诉你赤身露体呢？莫非你吃了我吩咐你不可吃的那树上的果子吗？”
And so immediately after the first sin,
在起初的那个罪犯了以后，马上发生的这件事情,
the first marriage became dysfunctional.
就是起初的这个婚姻，最初的婚姻，它的功能就不对了.
And immediately man became realizing that he was naked.
马上这个人就认识到他是赤身露体的.
And that sensuality, something that was given by God for married couples, was instantly perverted. And so man hid himself. And sensuality enters into the created order. Turn to Genesis chapter 4. Adam and Eve gave birth to two sons.
亚当和夏娃他的妻子生了两个孩子。
The elder one was given the name of Cain.
大的那个叫该隐。
The younger one was given the name of Abel.
年轻的那个叫亚伯，小的那个。
And these two sons brought sacrifices.
这两个孩子来献祭。
Cain was a farmer.
该隐是个种地的。
Abel was a shepherd.
亚伯是一个牧羊的。
Cain brought fruit from his farming.
该隐从他地里所出产的带给来献给神。
Abel brings the best of his sheep.
亚伯从他羊群中最好的带给神。
And God accepts Abel's offering and rejects Cain's offering.
神看中了亚伯他的供物，然后看不中该隐他的供物。
Let me read for you verses 5 through 8 and the response of Cain.
你读第五节开始该隐他的反应。
But unto Cain and his offering he had not respect, and Cain was very angry, and his countenance fell. And the Lord said unto Cain, Why art you angry? And why is your countenance fallen? If you do well, shall you not be accepted? If you do not do well, sin lies at the door, and unto you shall be its desire, and you shall rule over him. And Cain talked with Abel his brother, and it came to pass that when they were in the field, that Cain rose up against Abel his brother and slew him.
第五节开始只是看不中该隐和他的供物，该隐就大大的发怒，变了脸色。耶和华对该隐说：“你为什么发怒呢？你为什么变了脸色呢？你若行得好，岂不蒙悦纳？你若行得不好，罪就伏在门前，他必恋慕你。” 你却要制服他。该隐与他弟兄亚伯说话，两人正在田间。该隐起来打他弟兄亚伯，把他杀了。
So something happened in the course of events that Cain did not like.
就是说在这件事情当中，该隐他不喜欢。God
was playing favorites in his mind.
他在他的眼中，他看神是不公平的，他有他的偏好。God
loved Abel and hated Cain.
他觉得神爱亚伯，不爱该隐。
And so anger was followed by murder.
所以说他就发怒，接下来他就跟着这个怒气的就是谋杀。
And thus violence enters into the created order.
因此这个暴力也就进到了被造的世界里面。
Look further down in the chapter. I'm going to read verse 19 and then verses 23 and 24.
我要读十九章，然后二十九节还有二十三节。
Lamech took unto him two wives. The name of the one was Adah, the name of the other was Zillah. And Lamech said unto his wives, Adah and Zillah, Hear my voice, ye wives of Lamech, hearken unto my speech. I have slain a young man to my wounding and a young man to my hurt. If Cain shall be avenged sevenfold, surely Lamech 70 and sevenfold.
拉麦娶了两个妻，一个名叫雅大，一个名叫喜拉。拉麦对他两个妻子说：“雅大、喜拉，听我的声音。”拉麦的声音细听我的话语。少壮年人伤我，我把他杀了；少年人损我，我把他害了。若杀该隐，遭报七倍；杀拉麦，必遭报77倍。
So within 5 generations of Cain,
在该隐的五代里面,
one of his sons is the first polygamist.
他的其中的一个子孙就是第一个有多妻的人。
He marries two women
他娶了两个妻,
against God's original plan of one man and one woman.
违背了神起初的计划，设计就是有一个丈夫有他的唯一的一个妻子。
And in this one character, there's sensuality.
在这里我们可以看到他的性的情欲。
He also follows after his great-great-grandfather Cain, and he murders a man.
他也像他的祖先一样，他谋杀了一个人。
And so in this one man, you have both sensuality and violence.
在这个人身上，你可以看到他既有他的情欲，性上面的情欲，还有看到他的暴力。
These were really the two earliest sins within the created order. And so the two commandments in the Ten Commandments, thou shalt not murder and thou shalt not commit adultery, they are really commandments against sensuality and violence.
实际上他这个命令是命令禁止我们不可以有这样的情欲，也不可以有这样的暴力。
And this is exactly how our Lord Jesus Christ explains it in Matthew chapter 5.
这也就是在主耶稣基督他在马太福音第五章向我们所命令的。
So turn over to Matthew chapter 5.
请翻到马太福音第五章。
Let me give a little bit of background to this passage. This is known as the Sermon on the Mount. Jesus takes his earliest followers, and he brings them up to a mountaintop. And on the mountain, he has a teaching session with them. And one of the things that he's going to do during this teaching session is he's going to give an exposition of the Old Testament law.
他在这段教训里面，他要做的一件主要的事情就是他来为他们讲解在旧约里面所给出来的律法，他为他们解释。The
problem during the New Testament times
在新约时代的问题,
is that the Pharisees had stacked laws upon laws upon laws.
就是法利赛人在律法上面又加上他们的遗传，加了很多的那些规矩和法。
That they would do everything possible to keep the letter of the law.
他们 做的一切可以做的来守这个字上的律法，就是这字句上面写的这些律法。
And so in Matthew chapter 5 verse 20,
在马太福音第五章二十节,
Christ stands up and he says that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and the Pharisees, you shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven.
在第二十节，他站起来说：“我告诉你们，你们的义若不胜于文士和法利赛人的义，断不能进天国。”And
to anyone standing here,
对当时站在那里的人,
during this time listening to Christ,
在那个时候他们在听基督的教导,
they would have spent all of their lives looking at the scribes and the Pharisees,
他们也一辈子都在听这些文士和法利赛人所教导的,
and seeing how good and holy these people tried to live their lives. How they kept thousands of laws. How many of them probably had the entire Old Testament memorized. And they would hear this and say, "This is impossible. How can I be better than the scribes and the Pharisees?" So beginning in verse 21, Christ is going to clearly explain various portions of the law. You remember from our memory verse, Exodus 20:13. It was simple, thou shalt not murder. And I highly doubt that anyone in this room has ever committed murder. And as we see in verse 21 here, that the punishment for murder is in danger of the judgment. In the Old Testament, it's the death penalty. But look what he says in verse 22. But I say unto you, the law is simply a surface statement, don't kill anyone. So does that mean I can take my enemy and I can beat him within an inch of his life? I didn't kill him, by the way. Does that mean that I can't hire someone to kill my enemy? And what Christ says, it's something much deeper than that. It's not the physical action that you take against your enemy, although that's wrong. He says in verse 22 that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause is in danger of judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raka, shall be in danger of the council, and whosoever say, thou fool, is in danger of hellfire. And really, what's happening here? The first one that he lists in verse 22 is a feeling that someone has. If you are angry against your brother, and so we could substitute not only your physical brother, but maybe your sister, maybe your parents. Maybe you're angry at a co-worker or an employee. Or maybe you're angry at your boss. Or maybe you're angry at a fellow church member. And this is what Christ is saying here, that violent is not only limited to your actions, it's also limited to your feelings and your attitudes. If you have hatred and bitterness in your heart towards someone, then according to Christ Himself, you have already committed murder. And so the commandment is a bit more serious than simply thou shalt not commit murder. It's a warning against hatred and bitterness in one's heart. And so violent feelings can be as violent as your actions. Second point is that violent feelings hinder true worship. This morning we just partook in the Lord's Supper. In the times of the Old Testament, their worship would be to take some sort of offering, whether it was a sheep or a handful of grain,
或者是一个羊, 或者是一把这种面,
And they would sacrifice it before God on the burnt offer, on the burnt altar. And it was costing them something. And Christ declares that if they come to the altar,
基督这里说,如果你们来到祭坛上献礼物,
and there's a conflict between them and another believer,
如果在你和你的弟兄其他的信徒当中有这样的冲突,
then they cannot properly worship God until they settle the conflict.
那么他们就不可能真正的来敬拜神，直到他们跟他们的弟兄之间的冲突得到了解决。
So as he says in verse 23 and 24, if you bring your gift to the altar and you remember that your brother has something against you, leave your gift before the altar, go your way, be reconciled to your brother, and then come offer your gift.
所以你在祭坛上献礼物的时候，若想起弟兄向你怀怨，就把礼物留在坛前，先去同弟兄和好，然后来献礼物。
And so here I would state that reconciliation is necessary between other believers. If you're angry with someone else that you know that's a believer, if you're holding anger or bitterness against someone else in this church, then you are sinning before an Almighty God. And reconciliation is also needed between non-Christians, and we see this in verses 25 and
26.
And so the scripture says, agree with your adversary quickly while you're in the way with him, lest at any time he deliver you to the judge, and the judge deliver you to the officer, and you be cast into prison. I say unto you, thou shalt no means come out thence till thou hast paid the uttermost farthing.
你同你的对头还在路上，就赶紧与他和稀，恐怕他把你送给审判官，审判官交付衙役，你就下在监里了。我实在告诉你，若有一文钱没有还清，你断不能从那里出来。
And so there may be a time in your life where you're in a conflict against someone in your neighborhood.
可能在你的生命当中有一段时间，你和你的，比如说你的邻居，有这样的冲突。
You're in a conflict and in a disagreement against with someone that you work with.
或者你跟你的同事有这样的冲突。
And the means that you need to do is you need to reconcile the relationship.
你需要做的正确的方式是你应该要和解这样一个这件事情。
If you have done something to damage the other person, if you have stolen from them somehow, if there's been some sort of angry argument that you've had, if there's even been a physical fight, then you need to be reconciled with that person. And so really, I think what Christ is saying is that we need to beware of harboring anger and bitterness. So let me say a few things about bitterness this morning. How do we know what bitterness is if I'm bitter? Or what does it look like? Think in your mind of the person that you dislike the most. Visualize them. Then start listing in your mind certain adjectives that you would use to describe them. Then begin to list words that describe your feelings for them. Are you beginning to see the words anger or hatred?
然后你会慢慢的看到就是那些愤怒或者是这种恼怒这种词汇就出来了。
Is there a specific event that you remember where they did something that hurt you badly?
有没有一些很具体的事情你清清楚楚的记得这个人他如何的伤害了你？
And you just wish in your mind that if only I could get them back for what they did to me.
你心中在想如果我能够真的是报复他们因着他们伤害我的我能够好好的报复他。
How do you respond to people in general in your relationships?
你如何跟你周围的人的各种各样的关系你如何的跟他们交往？
Do you get snap and get angry and yell and shout when you don't get your own way?
如果没有照着你的方式你是不是就是非常的愤怒发大怒然后 大吼大叫？
Children? Teenagers?
然后年轻人们。
If your parents give you a command that you're supposed to follow,
如果你的父母给了你那个命令要求你去做,
and you're busy doing something else,
你正忙着做你自己的事情,
do you get angry and stomp and storm away?
你会不会就是非常的恼怒, 然后你就转身就跑掉,
and cry out against them?
然后对着他们大吼大叫,
or maybe you've even said to them, I hate you?
甚至你会对他们说, 我恨你们。
If something happens in a church that you don't like,
或者在教会里面有些事情你不喜欢,
do you hold it in until a public meeting?
你是不是一直把它放在心里面，然后直到一个公众大家一起开会的时候,
or a business meeting,
或者是在会员会议的时候,
or a Sunday school class,
或者在主日学的时候,
or you call someone else in a church and say, you know what that person there did to me, it makes me so angry.
或者你跟另外一个人打电话说，你知不知道某某某做了这件事情，这么样的伤害了我，我现在非常的愤怒。
What about the relationship with your manager at work?
或者你跟你的同事们之间的关系。
Think of the person that's immediately over you.
想想在你的顶头上司。
Do you have a good relationship with them?
你跟他们有好的关系吗？
Or every time that you think of them,
或者每次你想到他们的时候，
you think, I can't believe that this person is telling me what to do.
我真的不敢相信这个人竟然在命令我要做什么做什么。
He's so mean.
他太坏了。
And he's such an idiot.
他太蠢了。
Is this descriptive of you?
这就是是不是你的一个描述呢？
If you are walking around with bitterness in your heart,
如果你心中怀有苦毒，你过每一天。
Then you do not have a right relationship with the living God.
你跟那位永活的真神没有一个正常的关系。
So let me give you a practical solution for anger and bitterness.
所以说我现在要给你一个非常可行的一个办法对付这些愤怒，然后。
Number one.
第一个。
Go and speak with the person in person with whom you are angry.
亲自面对面的跟那个你生气的你不满的那个人谈话。
Number two.
第二点。
Gently, without raising your voice, explain to them what you are feeling and why you feel hurt.
非常温柔的态度，注意控制你的声音，不要提高你的嗓门，然后对他这个人讲为什么你会对他怀有这样的感情，这样的愤怒，你要为他清清楚楚的来解释。
Now the person may try to explain themselves and they may try to apologize.
这个人可能会解释他为什么会这么样的做，然后甚至会可能会向你道歉。
But even if they don't,
但是即使他不向你这样做，不向你道歉。
You need to forgive the person in your heart and you need to tell them that you forgive them for their actions.
你仍然应该在你的心里面原谅这个人，然后你也应该告诉这个人你已经原谅了他。
Number four.
第四点。
Do not allow these past grievances that are between you and that person to color your present relationship.
不要让这个过去发生的事情来影响你现在的跟他的关系。
Don't bring up their past sins against them.
也就是说不要翻旧账翻出来闹。
Don't keep a long list whether it's written down or in your mind saying everything that this person has ever done to hurt you.
你不要在你心里面列这样一个单子，就是说这个人他曾经伤害的这些事情，你一件一件的把它记在那边。
In your marriage,
在你的婚姻当中，
don't keep a grocery list of what your spouse has done to hurt you.
在你的婚姻当中，你千万不要列这样一个单子，
Forgiving them means giving it up. Don't bring it up again. Number five, make these meetings in person and not through email or over the phone. So the first commandment was, thou shalt not murder. The second command is, thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, some of you in this room are not married. And the traditional definition of adultery is an immoral relationship with someone that is not your spouse. Let me expand this definition a little bit. Adultery, immorality, is any sort of improper relationship outside of the bounds of marriage. In preparation for this message, I was doing some reading. There's a present day problem within current business situations. Men and women who are not married to each other are often working in close proximity. And they begin to talk with the person that they're working with more than they're talking with their own spouse. And during their breaks, they even begin to catch lunch together. Maybe they have something in common. But both parties, realizing that they are married, they never take it to the level of sexual immorality. Did you realize that even the non-Christian world calls this an emotional affair? It is, by all present day standards, considered adultery. But adultery is far more than simply improper relationships between different people. In this passage, in verses 27 and 28, Christ draws the line even further. And Christ said, ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, you shall not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whoever looks on a woman to lust after her has committed adultery with her already in his heart. And so lust itself is adultery. Let me define lust for you. Lust is any thought of another person that's sexual in nature, outside of the bounds of marriage. Any time that you think of another person that is not your spouse, and you visualize them in a sexual manner, you have lusted. And thus you have committed adultery. Let me put this in contemporary terms of our culture. And to demonstrate this, I have some statistics for you. In the year 2003, there were 1.3 million pornographic websites. In 2006, the pornography industry grossed $13.3 billion. In hotels, 55% of hotel rooms rented usually have the person inside watching a pornographic video. Which says something pretty strongly about business travel, does it not? Worldwide, there are 72 million people that visit adult websites each month.
,000,000
of all adults admit to having an internet sexual addiction. And so most people will say, well, that's simply limited to men. But that's incorrect. 28%. Nearly 1 in 3 of those people who admitted to having that addiction are women. And 70% of men from 18 to 34 visit a pornographic website in a typical month. Is lust a problem in our culture? If you simply begin to watch television commercials, you begin to very quickly realize that most of our contemporary marketing is based on lust. If you take a drive on the highway, maybe heading back home from church, you'll very quickly realize that most of the billboards out there are designed to grab your attention by a lustful picture or word. And so this is a serious problem in our society and in our churches. So within the prohibition against sensuality, we see that lust itself is adultery. The solution for sensuality is separation. Let me read verses 29 and 30 for you. If thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. It is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for you that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body be cast into hell.
若是你的右眼叫你跌倒，就挖出来丢掉；宁可失去白体中的一体，不叫全身丢在地狱里；若是右手叫你跌倒，就砍下来丢掉；宁可失去白体中的一体，不叫全身下入地狱。
Now, if you have a problem with this sort of sin, I will have a hacksaw at the door for you.
如果你有生命当中有这样的罪的困扰的话，我在外面有一把锯子给你准备好了。
No, I'm not being serious in that sense.
我不是严肃的，我是开玩笑的。
Of course, we're not going to take this literally. If every time that we sinned, we cut off a hand or poked out an eye.
如果每次我们犯罪，我们就把我们的眼睛挖出来，或者我们砍掉我们一只手。
We'd be walking around without hands and blind.
那我们可能都是走在互相走来走去的时候，都是没有眼睛也没有手的。
But what he's saying is that at certain points, you may have to cut something off in your life to remove yourself from the temptation.
但他这边在讲的意思就是说，在你的生命的某一个时候开始，你应该就是意识到你要把有些东西你要把它分离开，分割开。
If you have a problem with watching something on the television,
如果你忍不住要看电影上面的一些东西,
that is not honoring to God,
看电视当中一些神不喜悦的，不尊敬神的地方,
that glorifies violence,
或者就是在宣扬那些暴力的,
that causes you to lust,
或者引起你的情欲的,
the solution may be you may need to get rid of your television. If you spend your time on the internet, going to websites where you know that are going to lead you down into sin, then you may need to either install a web filter or cancel your internet connection. And these days, with all of our fancy technology, you can even pull it up on your cell phone or your iPad. If there aren't filters available for it, you may need to cancel your data plan. And if this is something you're struggling with, let me give you a list of things that you can start doing today to break free from this. First of all,
首先,
men,
男人们, 弟兄们,
find another godly Christian man that you trust and admit your sin to him. Ideally, this should be someone in your church who will hold you accountable. And by the way, this is the hardest thing that you will ever have to do. Basically, what you are ending up doing is you are being transparent in front of another person. You are opening yourself up to them. And there may be a little bit of fear that there's going to be some judgment of you. That you're trying to put on this facade of being this good, godly Christian man. But the statistics are the same for both Christians and non-Christians concerning this. What you're likely to find is another man who's also trapped the same way that you are. And that you two hold each other accountable. Women, find another godly woman to hold you accountable. Number two,
第二点,
install web filters and accountability software on your computers and phone. There's a computer program called Covenant Eyes. It's a very low cost. That basically captures everything that you do on the web. And if you go anywhere remotely suspect, it sends an email to a person that you have designated as an accountability partner. And so what you're doing is then public. It also has web filters available so that it prevents you from falling into that sin again. Number three, you need to replace those images in your mind with scripture, hymnody, good books. And to spend your free time and spare time doing something profitable. Number four, and you probably need to get counseling from the leadership within your church. And so these two commandments, on the surface level, seem quite easy to carry out. But if we were to be honest, we've all struggled with anger against someone. We've all struggled with lust in our lives. It doesn't matter if you're 14. Doesn't matter if you're 30. It doesn't matter if you've been married for 30 or 40 years and you're in your 60s or 70s. The problems of internal violence and internal sensuality are still real. But you can experience victory over sin in your life. And you can have a right relationship with a holy God. Let's have a word of prayer. And now, Father, we've said difficult things this morning. But your word is clear that in order to be people who are pleasing to you, it is not enough that our outward actions are correct and upright. But that our inward heart and thought and deeds are directed towards you. I pray, Father, that if there's anyone here that is struggling and captured by these sins, that your Spirit would convict them of their hearts and break them of the broken heart inside. Soften the hardened heart. And give them the courage to stand up and begin to take the steps necessary for biblical and godly change. Help your church to be a pure church. We pray in your Son's precious name. And through the power of His blood. Amen.
Amen.